Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat this evening. Please welcome Brian Facchino and the Risky Beavers. Welcome.
Woo!
Hi.
Woo!
Hey.
Some risky behavior going on here.
It's good to see all of our friends again.
Yes, it's like a reunion. It feels like we're at Rock by the Sea, you know?
Minus Charty, unfortunately. He just got off a 3-week stint on 6-man cruises, so he needed to rest.
Yeah. Yep, we need him. We need them on the boat.
We know how those go.
Oh, yeah.
Vacation after a vacation. So this is a treat. I'm so excited to see that y'all are going to be on the boat. And, we just wanted to hang out tonight and pick your brain about Risky Beavers and the origin. And Brian, if you want to let everybody know who's listening, or whoever, really. How did this all come to be?
I'd like to talk to the people not listening.
To me. Good.
So basically, Hammer and Chu and myself and Charty have known each other for years and years. We all played in different incarnations of the Pat McGee Band. And Chu and Hammer and myself made a record years ago called Made by Hand. And for the longest time, it was just kind of under my name. I would do like Rock Boat or Rock by the Sea or other gigs. And I would kind of just put people together, but Chu and Hammer were always there. And then as Rock by the Sea kind of like, you know, happened more and more, I met Aaron. This was several years ago through Greenlight Morning. And just asked him to sit in. And when he did, it really opened up everything for us because we had another chord player and a guy that could solo, and it was just nice to have something different. And then it just kind of became like every year it would be like, hey, do you want me to play? And I'd say yes. And then it was like, if I said, don't ask me anymore, just play if you want to. And so he did, and now I can't get rid of him. Unfortunately, that's kind of sucks. No, it's good. So we have been the same band for 5 years, basically, kind of. Wow. Maybe more. But it's just kind of been under my name. And 2 years ago, maybe one of the last Rock by the Seas, we were playing. And at the end, I would introduce myself and then I would introduce the guys. Sometimes I'd throw out a funny name or whatever. For some reason, this particular year, I said, hey, my name's Brian Facchino and these guys are the Risky Beavers. And it got a laugh, and I turned around, and Chu said, Chu, you want to say what you said?
What did I say? A little fuzzy.
That's for the people not listening. He goes, I'll be a Risky Beaver.
And that, oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And everybody, and it seemed to stick. Everybody dug it. And so what's really funny is we have been lucky enough to get some attention for, you know, coming on the boat as Brian Facchino and the Risky Beavers, but it's the same band, but we have new music. But it's like one of those Tide boxes that now is a different color and people think it's a better soap.
Yes.
We're a better soap because we have a name. They have a name. And that's how it started. Anybody else have anything to add?
It's, and we've been blessed to listen to some of the music and hear the names for some of the songs. Can someone walk us through the genesis of the names for the songs? Because they're awesome.
One of them was an idea that I had that we were at the Rosen Dome, Brian and I and Aaron playing, and there was a little bit of a pause, and I look over at Brian and I go, hey, I got one. He goes, okay, go ahead. So I start playing it. And so Brian named it, I Got One. He was like, oh, call that guy one.
He reminded me of the track while we were in there, and I was like, well, let's just call it that, and it works.
Yeah.
So
totally works.
I know you mentioned there's a song called Dance of the Yum Yums.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these, a certain percentage of these were actually, they started from my Music 4 series on Instagram, and I'll name those little bits. So a lot of these, just the name kind of came from that. And Dance of the Yum Yums was an idea that I had that kind of made me feel like it was like music for the dance when you enjoy your food or something like that. You know, when you like have a, you know, you enjoy a piece of pizza or something, you're like, this is good. So anyways, it became Dance of the Yum Yums. It's like the feeling you get when you have a meal that you really dig and you start dancing around. So that's.
Oh, I love it.
It's a Zinger.
Yeah.
Is another track. I just thought in that one section, we should all say it really loudly. So we did, and that stuck.
Now, is Chew Toy about Chew's toy, or is it a dog's toy?
Chew Toy is.
You know, that's.
Yeah.
I might have to defer to Brian on that one as well. But so when were you here? We played a gig together within, I don't know. Brian was at my house, and I was in playing my drums, just dicking around, and he came in with his cell phone and recorded it. So actually the drum part on there is, well, part of it is recorded right on Brian's cell phone. And then we took a walk and recorded another part also on his cell phone underneath a train bridge. So that's where you'll hear all the echoes. Now the name, I don't know, again, I'll have to defer to my friend on that, but it was kind of cool how we created that one.
Well, I mean, he had co-writing on that one, because basically the song wouldn't exist without his groove. I mean, he started the whole thing. And so I was like, it was kind of after I had already named Dog Treat Shuffle years ago. And I was like, well, I got to put Chew's name in this, but it's like Chew Toy seemed to work. And it's like, he hit the drums and I was like, it's like a toy. He's like having fun with it. And so it just kind of worked.
I think it's a testament to you all and your dedication to being your true authentic selves when creating music that you guys are allowed on the boat and to showcase this awesome talent that you guys all collaboratively bring to the table. And there's no, I don't think there's a more perfect setting than events such as Rock by the Sea or the Rock Boat, because the music lovers of the world are as authentic as you get in those settings and many other settings. But I feel like it's valued a lot more in those settings than possibly anywhere else. And so I'm curious, you know, what kind of merch might make its way through customs?
It's actually Rock Boat's going to be our CD release party.
Oh, ooh. Sweet.
Yep. So we'll have a new CD. We'll have t-shirts. We'll have stickers.
Awesome.
I don't think we're going to have any dog toys because it's really not that important. So we'll have t-shirts, stickers, and CDs. And now that I've said it, I have to do it.
So y'all are very busy, right? There's five of you that make up the band. And what has it been like bouncing ideas off, how often were you guys able to meet in person? Can you walk us through that logistics of it?
I think most of it was, you know, shows that we played, Rock by the Sea and the Rock Boat, all the improv stuff that we do. Once in a while, Brian would have something that, you know, we all felt like was sticky. You know what I mean? It should stick around. A lot of this really happens, I feel like, with Brian. Brian gets the ball going, and then we, you know, he said, hey, I want to do a record. Let's come to the studio in Nashville. And so he set it up, and on a lot of it, I mean, I don't think I had any of that stuff beforehand. I think we just did it there, and it was in person, you know? So I, you know, I feel like the in-person thing is how we work best, but really Brian is the catalyst for the whole thing of getting us where we need to be.
Yeah, it's
we weren't in a position really to rehearse, and honestly, these guys, like, you just throw something at them and let them do their thing. We've done so much, and to Hammer's point, we've done so much improv that, like, if we're together and we're just kind of feeding off each other, it, something cool usually happens.
Yeah, and I, the only thing I'll add to that is, Brian mentioned Hammer and I playing with him and Pat McGee band for a good while, and that band, there are no rehearsals. It is all on the fly.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, Well, it can be a train wreck, but also I think it's really personally it's helped me really learn to use my ears and play for the song rather than, playing, trying to do something amazing on the drums. But it's all about just chemistry and that we've built over the years, but also being able to use our ears and listen is what it comes down to.
Yeah,
that's kudos to you guys, because I think that would give about 95% of the people out there anxiety of, like, just kind of rolling with it,
Well, I guess all of your work with sessions has just been training you to be able to go out and crank out quality music like that.
Yeah, I think for me personally, being too prepared in certain situations kind of like gives me anxiety, because then it's like, well, what if we don't get it right? Because we tried it this way. We've always been kind of like, we've done so many complete gigs where we just show up and don't even have a set list, don't have a song, and we just play for 75 minutes. And so there's a freedom there. There's like, so basically when you take that into the studio, you try some things and some things work, some things don't, but you, obviously you can rabbit hole really easily in music. You can like fine tune things to the nth degree. But if you just kind of like get something cool and then you move on, 9 times out of 10, when you come back to what you just moved on from, you don't even remember the stuff you were rabbit holing about. So, these guys were just, they're fantastic musicians and they work quick and we work pretty good together. I do want to.
I think you just gave the exact definition of a risky beaver right there.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. I will say, so the way that we ended up having to do this was, Chardy and Chu and Hammer came and, we got basic tracks there. And then we finished up some guitar stuff, and then Aaron unfortunately couldn't make that. So he had to come, and he came in and in 2 days, guys, he came in and finished 11 songs. Like half of them he hadn't even heard. Like, I mean, because I did take a lot of these ideas from my Instagram, like short videos. So there was stuff where like we're writing charts out and he's like trying to get it, but He 2 days, anything you hear is recorded in 2 days. There's your charts.
Here they are. This is the chart
stuff. Wow.
Some big brain stuff right there.
Oh yeah, I had to ask him what an A13 was, but we got through it. We got through it. I was just going to say, listen, I love being on this show, cause I feel like I'm more just like one of you guys that hang out.
Absolutely.
I there's different people like different types of music, and I am a songwriter. Some of you guys know that, and play music and have for a long time. And I've always liked music that just makes you feel something. And when I first saw Brian down at Rock by the Sea and he was playing by himself, I knew him through Aaron Patrick, cause he had known him through different means. And I'm just like, holy crap, like this guy is amazing. But like every time he played the guitar, I was like, I can feel it. Like I can feel the story although there were no lyrics, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so that first time when we were down at Rock by the Sea and he's like, hey, just come up and play. Eamon, you said this. Yes, I was absolutely terrified. Because this is like, you've heard how great Brian plays to be able to go up there and do that. But it clicked. Like there was just a magical thing that kind of clicked with us. Because I don't, fancy myself like the most technical or best piano player in the world, but like we, I think what makes a great band is when people like get together, they just listen to each other to create something. So all those experiences of just doing.
What did you say?
Well, when you create something that like together like that, it's pretty magical. But I will say, having gone down and recorded on Brian's new album here, our new album with the Risky Beavers, it's awesome. Like, I can't wait for people to like actually show up and see and listen to this thing. Cause there's, I'm probably tell me if I'm talking too much, Brian, but like I used to play in like a pop jam rock band called the Big Creek that totally does not like go very well together, pop and jam, but like it was super cool. And as I was listening to the album the other day, I'm like, I cannot wait for these guys to hear this because they're going to freaking flip out because there's a lot of little intimate moments in there that you hear that are like almost comical. Again, probably only going to relate to people that are like into music and like listen, like to listen to like the music. But if you let yourself kind of sink into it, I hope people will listen to it and feel like what Brian came up with, the band came up with all together. It's really cool. The way we pieced it together, Brian, I think was in a lot of ways, if I would have come down there when Chew Hammer and Chardy were there, I probably would have just been a distraction. So it worked out perfectly.
Aaron doesn't give himself enough credit. When he first played with us, it was Rock by the Sea, St. George Island. It was Harry A's, and we were inside in the dining room. Yeah. And that was the first time in a good while where I saw Brian get lost in the music.
Hmm.
And I know it wasn't because of me. I knew it wasn't Chew. I knew it wasn't Chardy. Something about Aaron being up there, Brian was able to just let go and get lost in it. And I look out and you see all the guitar players are lined up watching Brian. You know what I mean? And he's cutting loose. Oh, man, he's just cutting loose. So Aaron coming in, I think really, I feel like it really gave Brian a foundation. And I don't want to say an excuse, but it may be an excuse to just go, oh, okay, another melodic guy. Okay, well, here, try this on for size. How about this voicing? You heard of this? No, I didn't think so. Nope. He really opened up. So Aaron being in was just, it was really huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it was for me just to watch my friend get lost in music. Oh man, it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I loved it. So I'm super happy that Aaron had come on and Brian asked Aaron to play. It changed everything.
But like the guys, thanks, Hammer. That's like the nicest thing ever. Thank you. That's very kind. But like everybody's like the coolest people ever. I remember like the first time I met Chew was actually playing on the Rock Boat for my first time. And this was after like being down at Rock by the Sea. Rock by the Sea is a big reason why this all came together, by the way. So like,
ooh, yeah,
I'm 100%. And so then Hammer's like, hey, you know, this was a couple of years after we had played a few times together. He's like, you should talk to Brian about getting on the Rock Boat. I'm like, you know, some people knew that like Aaron Patrick had played a lot of different Rock Boats with his old band. And I'm like, that would be amazing. Yes, I'd love to do that. So it happened. And then Chew, I was like, had never really met in person. And Brian was like, hey, you guys are just going to stay in a hotel room the first night. So I'm like, oh, I hope this doesn't get weird.
Risky.
Now I consider Chew a close friend with his wife. And we hang out a ton on the boat. And it's been awesome still.
I there's a few of us here that I would like to just highlight survived a tornado.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to point that out. And
there were three. Yeah, you too. Yeah, you. Yeah.
Yep. And
three.
But there was a moment where, I think it was during like the second shelter in place. The first one, me and Eamon were drinking Fireball out of the Fireball keg, and the second one was when I had a moment with Brian in the artist bunk, and I haven't shared this story, but it was really awesome, and I got to really talk to Brian, and but he let me like hold, now I've never held a guitar in my life, so up until this point, and I know the man loves his guitars, and I was imagining it was very expensive. And he handed it to me, and all I can remember is in high school, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, I might pronounce it wrong, was it a Les Paul?
Yep.
Okay. So you handed it to me, and all I can remember in high school was my buddies that were in a band kept talking about how expensive these things are. So the whole time, as there's a tornado coming, I'm holding this really expensive guitar, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. I was like so nervous, but I don't know what I was getting at, but other than that we knew each other from almost dying in a tornado.
Yeah. And like from an audience perspective, I couldn't put together another, four or five set of people that look like they're having so much fun playing on stage.
Yeah.
Let alone just like, playing, it really kind of livens up the fans and the audience when you see that the artists on stage are loving loving what they do.
And you see your crew brings the best out of each other. Like the little nods and the smiles and the enjoyment. It's something really special to watch that. You talk about the music having feelings, but it really emanates through, what we're seeing visually as well.
That's awesome. We are we as friends are, we get up and everybody tries to out funny the next guy, and we're all pretty funny people. Like every one of us can make the next one laugh. And so it's kind of like when we get a chance to play together, it's kind of like if you're sitting around drinking, playing cards with your buddies and you're just cutting up and having a good time. But this is kind of our version of that. And so, we are kind of blessed with, we aren't trying to have a pop hit or trying to get signed to a major label or anything. Like we're literally doing it for the sake of enjoying it and playing music. And that's incredibly freeing and incredibly special. And I'm very grateful for it. And so when you see us cutting up or whatever, we're generally having fun. We generally want to be there making each other try to laugh. There's stuff all over this record that's done out of humor. I mean, there's some funny stuff on the record and it's without saying a word. There's all kinds of funny sounds. There's all kinds of, the fact that there's some dogs barking in the background on a track, there's a train whistle in the middle of something, so that's to me, that's one of the most special things about having this group of people together is that we all generally care for each other and do it for the sake of the music, not some agenda where the music has to take us somewhere. It's for the music because we all have different things going on. So it's a real freeing and special thing. So,
yeah.
Glad you noticed.
It trickles down to, the listeners too, and that authentic being that's embodied in all that music and everything you said helps the listeners. Most of the there's a lot of listeners that we all know that get that same mirroring image, but just from a listener standpoint, when you guys are pushing out amazing music and
thanks.
Rock boaters are smart. They can sense bullshit a mile away, and we know that that's not what you're putting out. I know it's well received, and it's pretty. Again, it's unique to see that, and then someone sneaks up behind you at a brunch with Fekino and hands you a cool little sticker for the Risky Beavers. I'm excited for people on the boat who have never seen you guys perform before to experience it and to truly understand what loving music is. And hopefully it will change their lives as it has many others. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you.
When are we gonna get like a first update on the schedule? Does anybody know? Do you guys have any inside?
They're still working info on that. I had kind of was talking to them about it, and it's a little ways away from being put out. They're still shuffling some things around. The one thing I would like to mention, because I said we all do different things, like I feel very blessed because when we do our shows, Hammer just did an EP. Me and Hammer did an EP together, which is wonderful, and he sings on the whole thing. So we can go into that world, and he can sing some songs from his EP, and it all just kind of works because it's not like. Well, first, let me back up for a second. One thing about Risky Beaver's music, now I'm calling it that, it's instrumental, but it's not so complicated and muso, meaning like it's not so heady that the average person can't just jam along to it. There's a lot of instrumental music that's just super, super complicated and really wonderfully done. I'm not saying anything against it, but ours is kind of, it's on the simpler side, but as you notice, like all the songs are different. But if Hammer wants to sit and sing one of his beautiful songs, like it's like chill and he's singing with his beautiful voice, we can do that. We have the freedom to do that. If Chu wants to do some kind of jungle thing in the middle of something and he can do that. If Aaron wants to play a piano piece or even sing, because he's a great singer too, we can do all that. And so I don't know. I think one thing that you touched on that I think is really important is that these guys are always legit. Anytime you see Chu play, anytime you see Aaron play, anytime you see Charty or Hammer play, no matter who they're playing with, they're legit. They're being themselves. You know it's them. It's not like they're putting on any front. And man, that is so hard to find in the music business because everybody wants to put on an air. And I mean, I know I'm ridiculous, so I don't put on any air anymore. Not that I ever did. But we do work well together. So.
I am excited to see what you all have in store for all of us on the boat. And I think it will, you said jungle, which made me think of the boat. Again, you know, kudos to Six Man Hazel for having you guys on. It's a no brainer. So it's like, yeah, I'm just excited for the boaters that are virgins that are going to be able to experience this, and you guys can forever change their lives. And I'm thankful for y'all's time, and you guys are hard at work, and your music's awesome. And I just, looking forward to it.
Thank you,
Chris. How you feeling, by the way? How's the health, man? I saw your last podcast. Seems like things are going better.
We're getting there. Yeah.
You lost like how many pounds?
Yeah. Today will be 75.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Since basically September 1.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. I'm happy for you. Thanks.
Not happy that you had heart failure, but
right.
Happy
that you know, they said it was pneumonia for a month and a half, and then got a different opinion, and they're like, "No, actually not." I was like, "Oh, can we fix this?" They're like, "Sure, come on in."
Sorry to take that a whole different direction, but cut that out if you want. I just wanted to make I hadn't talked to you like in a text message, two text messages, but
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good. We got it all figured out. And then middle of December, I go for my next cardiologist appointment, and hopefully the pumping function of the heart is back to normal. And that'll allow me.
And it's kind of good to be podcasting again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Chris and Mark, I feel like it's been
a while,
forever, and we're starting to get after it again. It feels like we're back.
Speaking of getting after it,
we're all gonna be in Delaware.
That's where I was going, Aaron.
Yeah. So
December 6th, Rehoboth, Delaware, Rock by the Sea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't wait.
That'll be a good time.
Yeah. You know, I
would like to say something real quick. The you guys were kind enough to have us on and then kind enough to say so many nice things.